We continue our study today in the book of Daniel, and I would suggest that you fasten your seat belts, put on your helmet and your goggles, because we got a long ways to go and a short time to get there. We have in our study of the book of Daniel reached the seventh chapter. And here we enter the part of Daniel that is more prophetic in its nature as opposed to historical. And the going gets a little bit rough. We've kind of been coasting a little bit because the historical part is a little bit easier to comprehend. But when we start into this prophetic part beginning in chapter 7, the going gets a little bit rough. Of course, if you'll remember, there in the first chapter, when we first started, we saw where King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon laid siege against Jerusalem. And that siege, believe it or not, took 12 years for Nebuchadnezzar to finally conquer Jerusalem. During that captivity, he took captive several thousand people of the brightest minds and the youngest and took them back to Babylon from Jerusalem. One of those captives, of course, as we have seen in the last few weeks, was Daniel. Daniel was a young man. He was taken to Babylon. He was made a eunuch. He was there the rest of his life. He never, ever, according to scripture that I can find, was able to ever return to Jerusalem. However, Daniel was an extremely intelligent, no doubt. Must have been a man of great character because he rose to a very high position of power in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. And of course, he had his friends there, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We know all the story of them being thrown into the fire. And then we went through the handwriting on the wall, and Daniel was able to interpret what that said. God had given him the power to interpret these things, not only to interpret a dream, but he could tell King Nebuchadnezzar what his dream was, not just what it meant, but the dream itself. God gave him these kinds of powers to interpret what was written on the plaster in a wall. And of course, eventually then, Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, and God saved him from those lions. And as I said, he was never, ever returned, but spent his whole life there. And eventually we'll see here in some of the things that we'll be looking at today where Daniel was 80-some, 90 years old at the end of his life there in Babylon. The first chapters, as I said, are historic. But they foreshadow, and in Scripture there's always a foreshadowing of events. What you find on the Old Testament, many times you find that they are a shadow of things to come. And so that's what we find in these first chapters. However, as I said, from here on we get direct prophecy as to what the future is going to be. And we'll be seeing that even further as we go on in chapter 7, 8, 9, particularly, future prophecy of what God's plan and purpose is for the ages. Now, the vision of Daniel in this chapter 7 that we're going to be looking at today is written in the original text is written in Chaldee, and Aramaic, or which is really be called Syriac today, unlike the rest of the book. The rest of the book is written in Hebrew. But here we find that the writer, Daniel, changes to Chaldee in Aramaic. My question is, why? Why do you find this in the Old Testament? You change from Hebrew to this language. Well, the reason is because it belongs to the Gentile portion of prophecy. And what is that Gentile portion of prophecy? Dominion. Daniel, if you remember in chapter 2, made reference to these days of kings. He talked about kings in chapter 2, and we went through that. But now we'll see a fuller explanation of the times and characters of these kings in the continuing sagas of his chosen people, which were under the dominion of these kings. That's what this image that we saw in Daniel 2, with the image with the head of gold and each different metal as it goes down the body becomes of less value, gold and then silver and brass, iron and eventually clay. And of course, there in the end of chapter 2, the stone crushes the image to powder. And that is the domination that takes place at the end of times of the Jewish nation. That kingdom is crushed. And in Daniel 7, we'll find that the same court that provides the Son of Man to have dominion over the nation of Israel for all of these thousands of years will be the same court that consigns this power of this stone that is cut out without hands, which is what? God's ultimate kingdom comes in and crushes the final part of that dominion that is yet future to come. Now, there's one big mistake in understanding the book, and that is to assume that chapters 2, that we've already gone through, and 7 are coextensive. We have to find out something there that's a little bit peculiar. You don't quite catch it right at first. That's one confusion. Another source of confusion is the assumption that there are 4 and only 4 kingdoms that were set out in Daniel 2. You remember the kingdoms that were represented by metals, representative by gold, that was King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar was no doubt not perfect, but he was a good king. He had all kinds of power. He slew whom he wanted to slay, but they probably deserved it too. But nevertheless, he was described as gold because he was really good. But then, of course, we come along and we find silver. And then as we go down the image, we find brass. And then finally we go down to iron, and eventually the image then was clay mixed with iron, and it became a very fragile image over time. Therefore, these metals represented Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar first, then Persia, then Greece, and then Rome. So there's 4 metals, 4 kingdoms that are shown. But we have shown that the image is sixfold in history. And history confirms it. I don't have to use the scripture. You can go back in history and find that this is true, that this Babylonian, they dominated a nation. The Persians dominated the nation. As a matter of fact, they both dominated the nation. At the end of the Babylonian power, the Persian Empire was mighty. So both of those kingdoms were dominating the nation of Israel at the same time. And then along comes Greece, Rome. And furthermore, the kingdoms of chapter 2 succeeded one another. They fell in a row. But while the kingdoms of chapter 7 are contemporaneous, we find when we read chapter 7, which is the rest of the beasts that dominate the nation of Israel, and eventually, of course, lose that domination, but it is, as we will read there in chapter 7, it is eventually even prolonged some by the Lord himself. Now, before I go on, I want to mention something that is important in trying to grasp what we're dealing with here in chapter 7. Have you ever been reading a book and then jumped to the last chapter to better understand the results? Admit it or not, we have all done this. And this morning we will use this technique to get a better understanding of Daniel chapter 7. I admit it's a circuitous route to the truth, but no less noble in its approach. Because you've heard me say this over and over again, it's the whole to part that it takes to learn the scripture. You've got to see it as one complete revelation or story of God's purpose and plan for the ages. And only when you begin to see that there's going to be two parts to God's purpose and plan, a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And so once you begin to get that big picture, then you begin to understand the parts. I've explained it by saying, if I was to explain to you the game of football, and I started off with a 15-yard penalty, you wouldn't know whether I owed you a load of dirt or what. But if I start off that it's a game and it's played on a field and it has a goal and it has two teams, then you begin to understand it. That's the way it is with the scripture. You've got to realize that it's all one thing. It's not a bunch of stories just connected together. They all have part of this understanding, and they all help us to understand and to study to show ourselves approved and grow in the grace and the knowledge of Him. So, I want to jump ahead in chapter 7. I don't want to start with verse 1. So turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 7. And there in chapter 7 it says, verse 23, then he said, that's the angel's interpreting this dream that Daniel had, telling him what it means. Then he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. I have pointed out before that in the Gentile domination, which is over the nation of Israel and over Jerusalem, referred to the scripture is referred to as the time of the Gentiles. That's basically what this domination is called all throughout scripture, the time of the Gentiles. And these kingdoms are actually referred to as wild beasts, if you will. But here is a reference to the fourth beast in that chain. And if we can determine that beast, we will be on our way to understanding the seventh chapter. So if you go back and look at that image that we saw in chapter 2, we had the head of gold, which was Nebuchadnezzar. It was about 426 BC. We then come along with the Persian Empire around 331 BC. That, of course, being the silver part described as. Then below that is the brass of the belly of that image. That became the Grecian Empire. That was in about 31 BC. The iron legs then became the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire had this domination for about 600 years. Then following the Roman Empire, along came Turkey. And the Turkey Empire, which was primarily Muslim, dominated the nation for some 1,200 years. And then when you get to the book of Revelation, and we'll eventually tie all of this that we're seeing up to that book as we get into later chapters of 8 and 9. When John writes in Revelation, it says he is writing forward in the Spirit. So he is prophesying. And at that time, he describes this domination at that time is as one is, five have happened and one is. So that means that at that point, we're looking at the sixth of these kingdoms that dominate. These six beasts are historic and literal future kings. Now, some say the first of the four beasts is Babylon. And the fourth, the indescribable, the monster Rome that killed Christ. But that cannot be true. It introduces contradiction into the narrative. Daniel saw this vision when Babylon was already at its greatest power. When Daniel saw this vision that we're going to read, it's the last year or so of Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. And Persia was at that time well established as a great kingdom, just like Babylon, but both of them were dominating the nation of Israel. And we're going to find that later when we get over to Revelation. We're going to find 10 kings that are going to be dominating some all at the same time. So in verse 17, then back up from 23 to 17, these great beasts, which are four kings which shall rise out of the earth. So when this chapter and this vision and the angel is introducing this, two have already happened. Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, and then, of course, the Persian Empire. Therefore, they commence accordingly. The first of those four would be Greece, because two have already happened. The second would be Rome. The third would be Turkey. The fourth then becomes satanic monster together with 10 kings. for it bears 10 horns. Look at verse 24. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. So, this gives you a little idea as to, you can't get off the track here, because you got to realize that this vision is being seen after Babylon and Persia had already risen to power. And now we're looking at the next 4 kingdoms, and they come down to that one that I described as the feet of clay, where there's 10 kings. That is where John writes and says 5 are and 1 more. And so that keeps us on track to understand what's being talked about. So now, with that information, we want to go back and start at verse 1, okay? Daniel chapter 7, verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon. Now, Belshazzar was Nebuchadnezzar's grandson. And don't mix it up with Daniel's name. Nebuchadnezzar gave him the name Belteshazzar. So you can't get these two names mixed up. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream. So you see, Nebuchadnezzar had already gone on. And Nebuchadnezzar's son had reigned. And now we're down to Belshazzar. So we're not starting with this Babylon being the first one that's being talked about here. He had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed, and then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the 4 winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea, and 4 great beasts came up from the sea, diverse from one another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had 3 ribs in the mouth of it, being between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. And after this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it 4 wings of a fowl. And the beast also had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. And after this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a 4th beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped with the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Sounds like some of my dreams. Can you make anything out of that? Well, Daniel had to have the help of the Holy Spirit to interpret this. And we will eventually, as we get along farther, I think, begin to understand some of it. But there's been a lot of effort to ascribe these descriptions to the countries and the kingdoms of history that refer to this. For example, Alexander the Great moved with great speed and is compared to a lion with wings. the three ribs that are talked about here. Some say, well, that's got to be Babylon the first and Persia the second and Greece the third. And others say, well, the cruelty of the leopard is symbolic of the Turkish power, which succeeded Rome and ruled for 1,200 years over the nation. By the way, that is the territory of ISIS today, still having an effect on the nation of Israel. By the way, the nation of Israel has never had the promised land. They've had parts of it now and then, but they would not believe God. Had they believed God, that kingdom would have been established at that point, but they didn't believe God. And it was a covenant, and they broke the covenant. So ISIS today sits there as part of this dominion that still is dominating the nation of Israel. However, all of this that you hear is conjecture, and only history will prove the exact details of the dream. We must rely only on the angel's interpretation until such time that God reveals the rest. We must rely on the verse 17, which was, these great beasts which are four kings which shall rise out of the earth after Babylon and Persia. History will eventually begin to unfold. And when we reach some of that time, if you know your history and if you know your scripture, you'll better at that time be able to see it. But today, it's not that clear as to what all these nations are or these 10 kings might be. There's a lot of speculation, and we'll look at some of that. It's interesting, by the way. Let's go on with verse 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down and the Ancient of Days. Who's the Ancient of Days? Only one. God himself is the Ancient of Days. And the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool, and his throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Wheels? He must have had them on a chair of the throne or something, but whatever, anyway. Verse 10, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands, thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. These thousands were angels. We'll find that when we get further into the Revelation. And I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, and I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. And I saw in the night, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom which shall not be destroyed. Daniel was given in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near and to one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of these things. These great beasts which are four are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, ever, and forever, and ever. The Ancient of Days, sometimes translated the Everlasting One, finally sets up a seat of judgment. This is referred to, by the way, in Revelation chapter 2. This throne that is set up is the image that we read about back in chapter 2 that crushes finally the kingdom that exists. This will be the toes of clay and iron mixed together. Going to be 10 different kingdoms around the world. Who is it? I don't know. United States? United Kingdom? China? Russia? We will know, if you have an understanding of what God's prophecy is here, if you're fortunate to live into that time period. The Lord says, I wouldn't have you dumb concerning these things. Study to show yourself approved to Him. And in times of trouble, you'll have a peace that passes understanding. People won't be able to understand how you can have a peace when this terrible time in the end is going to be. Verse 19. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces and stamp the residue with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head and of the other which came up and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows, I beheld in the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came. And judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of the kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times, and the dividing of times. Remember in Daniel 2, that the last kingdom was described as being diverse. It was composed of clay. It wasn't one metal that described one kingdom. It was composed of many. But the others that we talked about there before were all described as one metal. That was Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome. So this fourth is here, also described as diverse in 19. And there is a peculiar reputation. Notice, it gets kind of involved here. But like I say, if you get a handle on this, when we get to Revelation, you begin to be able to understand it. It says the fourth is diverse from the rest. The little is diverse from the first. The fourth destroys the third. The little subdues the third. The fourth has a mouth speaking things. And the little speaks great words against the Most High. It seems that the little horn represents a final concentration of the fourth beast, is what it amounts to. And later in the book of Revelation, chapter 13, this fourth beast concentrates itself itself and it devours all the rest. And it is a composition creature with all seven heads and a mouth speaking blasphemy. Moreover, it is said to be the exact period of time as stated in this last verse, 42 months, therefore 3.5 years, 1/2 of 1 week. And you'll understand that more when we get to chapter 9, because there's a prophecy of 70 weeks that is yet to come with God's plan. And so, all those weeks have not traversed. That is forthcoming. That last week, which is actually the week of tribulation. And this is what this has reference to. The 70th week. And I don't pretend to be able to piece together all the prophetic images in this chapter, and I don't think anybody else can either. It's prophecy. And when the time begins to show up, we'll better understand and how to deal with what is being talked about here. And while many things are open to us in the book of Revelation, and we've studied that a long time ago, we probably need to go back and do it after this book. It is the very nature of prophecy to veil or to hide as much as it reveals until the time of the end or whenever the prophecy is forthcoming or prevalent or fulfilled. The best way to understand Revelation is these minor prophets, Daniel being one of them. Turn over here in conclusion today to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. I still hear a few pages rambling. Chapter 11 reminds me, my brother-in-law played for the Cleveland Browns, and I sat in on one of their team meetings one time, and Roger Brown was there, and he was adamant that everybody in that team was on the same page of the playbook. Constantly. That was his whole deal. Well, everybody would be on the same page on this verse. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world. That's those 10 toes in the image. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. The Ancient of Days. So in conclusion this morning, the remaining prophecies of Daniel are fuller in more detail. The intent centers on the feet of the image, the fourth beast, and especially to the 10 horns. Hopefully, we will know more in the weeks to come as we continue next week with chapter 8. I hope I haven't confused you too much, but read it. It says, study to show yourself approved, and it helps to read the scripture, and you read it with your ears. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love towards us. We thank you that you care about us. We're thankful that you're mindful of us, that you have provided this magnificent written word whereby we may grow in the grace and the knowledge of you. I ask that you would give each of us here open hearts and open minds that we may do that, and that we all may be rooted and grounded in your love. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.